But let's start reading in 1 Peter chapter 5. The Bible said here, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. There's a reason I read that text. I'll share that with you in just a moment after we pray. Father, thank you this morning for each one that's gathered here today, Lord, under the roof here at Bible Way. And Lord, our people that are traveling, I pray they'd have a great break, a great vacation, and God, that you'd keep them safe. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to heal up our people, Lord. Your sister Shelby recovering from surgery. Lord, others that are, Lord, going through some trying times right now. But God, we pray that you'll just help each one of them. And Lord, we that have gathered here today, I pray, God, that he, the Holy Spirit, would have access to our hearts and our minds. And Lord, that you would speak to us. Help us today, Lord. Lord, it is a celebration. And Lord, we appreciate so very much what you've done in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, we appreciate the church. Appreciate Brother J.W. years ago, Lord, being instrumental in getting the church started. Brother Jack staying all those years, our father, being faithful to the word of God. And Lord, what an honor it is just to be a little part of what you're doing at Bible Way. Thank you, Lord, for a choir. Thank you for sending Brother Dale. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet Holy Spirit. And God, we just thank you for each one that labors. Lord, the wonderful, wonderful group of volunteers to help with Bible school. God, it's going to be a great Bible school. We're going to trust you, Lord. Lord, just the work in youngins' hearts and lives. And Lord, just have a great week together. Lord, we pray for our graduates. Lord, many of them are out today. Lord, even visiting the places where they'll be going to school. We pray, God, you'll bless them and help them, Lord, to never forget their roots. But wherever they go, our Father, to determine to honor you, to honor their parents that's trained them right, to honor the word of God, Lord, that lives and abides in their heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This morning, let me lay this a little bit of groundwork. I guess it was in March of 2013. In February of 2013, Brother Rick Hall called me. Some of you all know these things and some of you don't. And I think it's fitting today just to give you a little bit of history, amen, on how this happened. And Brother Rick called me and he said, Brother Vinoy, we're without a pastor. And he said something to this effect, do you have anything open in March? And I told Brother Rick that I had a couple of Sundays open in March. I was with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. I would go away for 2 weeks, come home for 2 weeks. And so anyway, he said, well, would you put us down for those? And I said, sure. And so I marked it in my calendar. And then Brother Rick said something like this. He said, you preached for us in 2004. And he said, some of our people have never forgotten it. Now, this is 2013. And I said, now, wait a minute, Brother Rick. I said, you do understand I'm a missionary with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, because I could already hear that taint in his voice, amen, that he was looking for somebody more than just to fill the pulpit in March. And he said, yeah, I know. That's all he said. And so I came, long story short, in March, and I can't remember, maybe some of you men can remember, did the pulpit committee approach me after the Sunday morning service or after the Sunday evening service? Pardon? Well, I know that was a different Wednesday, brother. I'm talking about the first time. the pulpit. It was the first day. I know it was the first day. Do you remember, Brother Rick? It was either after the morning service, the first, and this is what they said to me. Do you have any idea that God might be leading you this way? Do you remember, Brother John, was it after the morning service or the evening service? It's the first day. I know that. The very first day that I preached here. And I said, no, I don't know. I don't know that, men. I said, all I can tell you to do is pray about it. And by the way, beloved, it would be a happy day in your life when you learn to pray about everything. The work of God is way too serious to not pray about it and seek God's will about it. Amen. And anyway, so I told him that. And then, long story short, someone asked me, said, what are you doing Wednesday night? And I said, well, I'm not doing anything. They said, well, come back and preach Wednesday night. I said, okay. And I was trying to encourage the church because the church was somewhat discouraged at the time. And so I preached a message. I just gave it a college course title, Church Building 101, The Savior. And I tried to tell the church at Bible Way. I don't know if anybody recalls it. It's not your church. And it's not my church. It's his church. And he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That message went real good. I preached the second Sunday. And I don't remember a lot about the second Sunday. I do remember praying, and I do remember not having any direction. Well, the Tuesday after the second Sunday, I'd spent four services, 8 hours in the prison, in the jail in Abingdon. And I had four services in the Abingdon Regional Jail. And we had good services. I come out of the jail at 10 o'clock. I started at 2 in the afternoon. I came out at 10 o'clock that night. And I was coming down 11W. And out there where the new tractor supply is, right before you get to there, coming into Kingsport, the Spirit of God said, why don't you just pull in over there and pray? And so I pulled on the parking lot, and it was 10:45. And I began to pray. And I said this. I said, God, they need an answer. And I need an answer. I remember saying things like this over and over. God, I'm too far down the road to miss you now. God, I don't want to miss your will. I want to do your will. And I began reading in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. And the Lord has answered many prayers for me in Hebrews, chapter number 11. Are y'all okay this morning? I know this is a little bit unusual. I'll get to some good stuff after a while if you'll hang around. But anyway, I read Hebrews chapter 11 and chapter 12, chapter 13, just praying verse by verse. I read through the book of James chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. Oh God, I need an answer. They need an answer. I read the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. So tired, Brother Jason, I could hardly hold my head up. When I looked at the clock on that Crown Victoria and the radio clock there, it said 11:55. It was 5 minutes till midnight on that Tuesday night. When I ran across a verse of Scripture, not even knowing what was coming, when the Holy Ghost said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight there. Yes. And he broke my heart for this church and for this group of people. And Brother Dale, the only thing I could have done different would have been in direct rebellion against the Holy Spirit, because I know what he did in my heart in that moment of time. I came back in on Wednesday night after that. I hadn't told anybody. And I came back in on Wednesday night after that, and I preached on this subject, Church Building 102, The Shepherd. And I began to magnify the office of pastor. And I preached out of the same text, Brother Jason, that God had called me not telling anybody anything, but I stood up on that Wednesday night and said, the pastor's somebody to feed the sheep. You're nodding your head, Brother Gary, you remember? The pastor is somebody to lead the sheep. But the third thing God showed me, I've never run into another preacher before or since that understood this and said that they knew it. But the pastor is somebody who needs the sheep. I've heard all kinds of preaching in my life on how sheep need a shepherd. But never in my life had I heard anybody magnify that the shepherd needs the sheep. And the Spirit of God, Brother Wayne, let me know that I needed you all just as bad as you needed me. And I'll say it's been 10 wonderful years. Amen. 10 of the best years of my life. Standing here preaching Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday, knowing that people love me and they pray for me and they love Jesus and they love missionaries and they love children and they love the poor and they love preachers. Preachers been through here one after another after another. The church has just loved on them. Amen. What a blessing that is. But I want to come back to this same text this morning. I'll give you just a little bit of, I'm real proud of my math skills. So in 10 years, that was 3,650 days. You say, your math skills, that's right. I've got a phone and it's got a calculator on it. And I know how to push buttons, amen. 120 months, 520 Sundays. Times two, that would be 1,040 sermons or messages. I didn't preach all of them. I've missed a few along the way. Some sick, some out of town, and some willingly giving the pulpit to another man of God. 520 prayer meetings. It just doesn't seem like 10 years to me. Amen. The Bible said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I want to give you some things this morning from the text that I hope and I pray will be a blessing to you. I'm preaching from the same text 10 years later, but an entirely different message. I want to say this morning. There's one man, if he stood up, he would have to stand up in heaven. Brother Dan Coakley's in heaven. And so I want the men that were on the pulpit committee to stand up this morning. Brother John and Brother Gary, Brother Rick. Who's the other one here? Brother Wayne, you were on the pulpit committee. I know you remember that, Brother Wayne. Now, there's a reason that I'm doing this. If you all feel compelled at any time in our ministry to throw rocks at somebody, throw it at these men. Don't throw it at me. Amen. Amen. Okay. Got that over with. Amen. Throw it at these men. Throw them rocks at them. What now? I mentioned him a while ago. He was standing up, Brother Rick. Amen. Brother Rick's trying to get them rocks off of him onto John. Amen. Those are good Baptists that's always trying to direct it another way. Amen. Amen. I'll give you some things the Lord spoke to my heart about in this passage of Scripture, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you this morning. In verse number 1, the elders which are among you, the first thing Peter says here is he said, I exhort. I want to look for just a moment at the word exhort. And if you look it up in the Greek, it comes from a word, parakaleo. I'm not trying to impress you. I just looked it up. And I actually learned something in looking it up. It's real close to the word paraclete. The word paraclete is the word that's used for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that's called alongside to help. And when you look at the word exhort in this scripture right here, now listen to what it says. It says to call near, to invite, to invoke, to beseech, to call for, to comfort, to desire, to give exhortation, to entreat, or to pray. I believe that ought to be the business of every God-called pastor, don't you? The Word of God said to call near, to invite. My wife was speaking a while ago on the way to church. And I'm not going to name the name, but it's not just one man. There are a lot of men, Brother Larry, this is how they operate in the ministry. They want to keep people at an arm's length. I thank God I've never wanted to do that. This is how I operate in the ministry. I want them to come near. I want them to be close. I don't want them just to be close to me. I want them to be close to Him. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart when Peter said here, the elders which are among you, I exhort. That's what Peter was trying to say. He said, I want you guys to come on in here. Listen, Peter, at one time in his life, was a great failure. But God picked him up and dusted him off and filled him with the Holy Ghost and used him in a mighty way for the glory of God. Amen. Peter's the one that's writing these. He said, listen, the elders that are among you, I exhort. And I believe a pastor ought to be an exhorter. He ought to be an encourager. He ought to be pointing you towards the things of God and trying to help you in your life. Amen. That your life might count for the glory of God. There's just four words I'm going to look at this morning. The first word there is the word exhort. I do know this. Brother Jason, you mentioned it in your Sunday school class. You said that some men are never willing to admit their mistakes. They're always right about everything. And I do know this. I've not always been successful in exhorting. Amen. There's no doubt that there have been times in my life when something went on that discouraged another. But that doesn't change my desire to be an exhorter, to be one that lifts up, to be a Barnabas, to be an encourager, to be one that's pointing people towards the things of God and not away from the things of God. The second thing that I saw in the Scripture as I read the Scripture again this morning, he said, I exhort. And then he said in verse number 1, who am also an elder. And then he said, a witness of the sufferings of Christ. This morning, please stay with me for just a moment in your heart and in your mind. If you know anything about Peter, you know that Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going to die, that he's going to be crucified at Jerusalem. Jesus has to tell Peter. Peter says, listen, Lord, I'm going to go. No, that's not going to happen. I'll go with you all the way. And Jesus has to tell Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Because you see, Jesus was in God's will. It was in God's will that greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. Jesus' life was not taken from him. His life was laid down on an old rugged cross. And beloved, I thought about Peter, the one that's writing this. He's walking afar off. He's on the outside. He's, beloved, listen, he's not like John, where John was standing at the foot of the cross looking up at Jesus. And Jesus said, son, behold thy mother, speaking of Mary. And Mary, behold, mother, behold thy son, speaking of John, that other disciple, that disciple whom Jesus loved. Peter's not there. John is there, but Peter's not there. And yet on the day of Pentecost, beloved, you have Peter that's filled with the Spirit of God, standing up and preaching. I don't know if there was an aisle But there's 3,000 people that stepped out and said yes to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. What a blessing it must have been to Peter. You say, Pastor, if Peter wasn't there, how in the world could he have been a witness of the sufferings of Christ? I'm not going to take the time to turn to the Scripture, but I am going to say this. If you'll look at your Scripture, Peter and James and John were there when the suffering began in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was so troubled and so in so much agony of spirit that his sweat became drops of blood. They were encouraged to pray. And in essence, I think it was 3 different times they fell asleep. And Jesus said something like this when he would come back. What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And they fell asleep. And Jesus told them the last time to sleep on now. But Peter was a witness of the suffering of Christ. I wonder this morning as I begin to think about this, how is it that if he was afar off, how is it that he could be a witness of the suffering of Christ? I have a thought on my heart this morning. I want you to bear with me for just a moment. Would you do that? I want you, for just a moment, you don't have to close your eyes, but I want you to imagine you're outside, you're Peter, and I want you to imagine hearing something. I know this. I've never heard it with these physical ears, but thank God Almighty, I've heard it by faith. I've never seen it with these physical eyes. But just yesterday in my Bible reading, I read Isaiah 53 again. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. With the rich he made his grave, and with the wicked. Beloved, I'll tell you this morning, I know, not by sight and not by what I've heard, but I know by faith that I serve a Savior. Oh, we can get excited, Brother Dale. I went back last week. I don't know how I ran across it, but I heard the singing Easter Sunday again. And you know what I did? I cried again. I rejoiced, amen, that my Savior is alive and He's well. I rejoiced that He shed that blood for me, amen. Now, I was fresh in my heart all over again. Though I've never seen Him die, I know that He did. And Peter said, I was a witness of his suffering. As I thought about that this morning, if you'll bear with me for just a moment, this might be what Peter was talking about. I don't know this for sure, so I won't be dogmatic about it. But Peter, he wasn't out of the country. He was just afar off. And maybe Peter's talking about something like this.
Stay with me for just a moment. There's three men nailed to crosses that day. Two of them deserved exactly what they were getting. But that man in the middle was taking your place, and he was taking mine. And do you know what our life should be from that time forward? A witness of the sufferings of Christ. I've never thought about this before in this context. The Apostle Paul said this, I die daily. You know what I believe? I believe we need to hear the nails. Daily. I believe we need to understand he didn't live for himself, and I'm not going to live for myself. He went to that cross and there purchased my eternal destiny. I don't belong to myself anymore. I belong to him. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, here it is again, let him deny himself and take up his what? His crown? No, his cross. And follow me. I'm not trying to be ugly, but I am trying to be truthful. Most Christians today are a lot more interested in crown wearing than they are cross bearing. That's why at work they're ashamed of him. That's why they won't give a gospel tract. That's why they won't give a gospel witness. That's why, beloved, they're more concerned about what man thinks than what God thinks. But in this text, Peter said, I want to exhort you. I want to be a witness. Watch this now. A witness of the sufferings of Christ. And then he said this, also, here's the next word, underline it in your Bible, our partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Brother John, I had you men to stand up a while ago. Brother John probably spent more time with Brother Dan Coakley than anybody else in this congregation. They were big buddies. But Brother Dan has left us now. You can say whatever you want to, but I've spent an entire week thinking about the precious people that's left us in these 10 years. You say, Pastor, I don't believe that's healthy. I don't see nothing wrong with it. It makes me want to enjoy every moment that God gives me with you. Realizing our Father, my brothers and sisters, that we don't never know when it'll be the last time that our Father will allow us to be together down here. But the Bible said a partaker of the glory. The Bible said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, walk with God, talk with God, and listen, be willing to die daily. It's not even worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us one day after a while when we're with Jesus. When we're like Jesus, when we're with His people, what a blessing that'll be. That word partaker means a sharer, an associate, a companion, to fellowship, a partner. The last word in the message today, look at verse number 3 with me, please. 10 wonderful years. If God were to give me 10 more, I hope I can exhort. I hope I can be a witness. I hope I can be a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. But in verse number 3, I'll read verse 2. That's not where emphasis is. That's where it was the first time I preached. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. God didn't bring us here to make us a boss. He brought us here to lead the flock. Over God's heritage, I've said for years, and I still believe it's true, the best Christians are servants. The best pastors are servants. The best deacons are servants. The best Sunday school teachers are servants. The best husbands are servants. The best wives are servants. The best children and teenagers are servants of the Most High God. The last word I want to emphasize in your hearing this morning is in chapter number 5 and verse number 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being, here's the word, ensamples to the flock. Be an example. I looked this word up in the Greek, and it comes from a word that means a die. I used to work at a tool and die shop, a machine shop, and a die is made and then many times hardened so that you could use that die to cut out other pieces out of other material. It would be the same shape as that die. A stamp. You know, you take a stamp and you can order them and get them cut out to say whatever you want, and then you dip it in the ink and then you put it over on the paper and it transfers that same shape. By analogy, it means a shape like a statue, a style or resemblance, a sample, a model, or an example. If you'll turn with me in your Bible, please, to the book of Timothy, I'll give you an idea of what's going on here in this word, an example. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 16. Howbeit for this cause, the Apostle Paul said, I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ might show forth all longsuffering. Look at these next words. For a pattern. God desires that the pastor's life be a pattern. I didn't mean to say this morning, but I believe that's why God wanted the pastor's home to be in order. I believe that's why God wanted the pastor to be the husband of one wife. And by the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Get mad if you want to. I don't believe he meant one at a time. God was looking for an example in the church. He set a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So as God has dealt with my heart about the past 10 years and the possibility of 10 more, God said this, Pastor, I want you to exhort. I want you to be a witness. I want you to be a partaker. And I want you to be an example to the flock. I'm not a fool. I know that I've not always been a good example. But I know this. I want to be. I want to be in my actions. I want to be in my life. I want to be in my words. I want to be a good example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, Honey, I don't know about you, but it looks like to me everything you see today is pointing towards the appearing of the chief shepherd. He's coming. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I'll be honest with you. I'd like to have a crown. I don't believe it's the way that a lot of people think about it. I think it's NBC that has the peacock. I think some of God's people think they're going to be like a peacock in heaven. Amen. I just read in the book of Revelation where the 24 elders, I want a crown. Brother Grizzle, I don't want you running by the throne of God, laying a crown down and be standing there without one. I want one. I want to be able to lay it at His feet. I want to be one that cries, worthy is the Lamb. God, You loved me. You gave Yourself for me. You gave Yourself to me. I want that crown. Because I want to lay it at His feet. The one that's worthy. Amen. 10 wonderful years. Been a little bit unusual this morning, but I guess that's okay. I hope that there's not a person in this building that's ever felt like Pastor was like this. I won't be like this. Come near. I love the song that said, draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side. I want to exhort. I want to be a witness. I want to be a partaker. And I want to be an example to the flock. May God help us today as we celebrate 10 years together. You're looking at a pastor that realizes that he could never have done it without you. I need you. We need each other. Amen. I remember, I'll close with this. I remember when I finally let the church know that I would be a candidate, Brother Wayne, I tried to teach the church the difference between a pastor and a preacher. There is a difference. I tried to teach the church that you can have a good preacher. A preacher come preach you a good message. He'd go home and forget about you, and you go home and forget about him. But a pastor, I tried to teach the church two things, Brother Gary. Number one, he's somebody that carries you in his heart. He don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If you need him, he's there. A pastor also is someone that you're willing to get behind and follow. Brother Jason, you brought it up in Sunday school and it was wonderful the way you presented it. You said our pastor preaches to us. You said we need to weigh it all, so to speak, in light of this book. In other words, Paul said, he didn't just say, be ye followers of me. My name's Jim Jones. Let's go drink some Kool-Aid. That's not what he said. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ. And the only way I can tell, Brother Larry, to know whether a man's following Christ is to know what that book says. And to know what we're supposed to be doing and following Him and following that book. And I'm saying this on purpose in closing. I said this to the church when I agreed to be a candidate. Brother Mike, I told the church this. I said, I believe with all of my heart this church wants a pastor. And then I said this, Sister Kathy, I said, if you don't, I'm begging you, tell me now. Don't tell me later. Don't wait 6 months down the road. Don't wait 6 years down the road to tell me. I said, I believe this church wants a pastor. And he said, oh, Pastor, why did you say all that? Here's why. Because there's 10 years of evidence. It's stacked high, Brother Wade, that this church wanted a pastor. And I appreciate it so very much. I told my wife that night after God dealt with me in the car, and I knew that I was going to be becoming the pastor. You say, no, you just knew you was going to be a candidate. No, I knew God wanted me to be the pastor. And Brother John, you've told me a couple of times in 10 years that you knew before I knew. Brother John said, I knew before you knew, preacher. And it's hard to believe that there's any situation where I could be more hard-headed than Brother John. But evidently in that situation I was. It took God a little bit longer to get it through to me. Amen. But I remember driving home that night, and we had a man by the name of Steve Dagenhart at Oak Glen. He preached a revival meeting, Brother Larry, and he preached, his text was on where Jesus healed the blind man. And he titled his message, He Didn't See It Coming. I'll never forget that. All the way home, Brother Jason, all I could do, I couldn't hardly see the road for crying. All I could do is say, God, I didn't see this coming. I didn't see this coming. How many's glad he can see further out yonder than we can see? Because I didn't see it coming. I told my wife, I don't know where she's at. She's probably in the kitchen, ain't she? She's in children's church. That's right. One or the other. I told my wife, I said, honey, I never thought I would pastor again. I was enjoying what I was doing. I loved preaching to those men in the prisons. And I'll never forget what my wife said. She said, I did. I said, I never thought I'd pastor again. She said, I did. Ain't it good to have a wife, Brother Gary, that knows us better sometimes than we know ourselves? Amen. Father, thank you this morning for this group of people. Many of our people, Lord, are traveling today, and Lord, I pray you take care of them. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us today to have a great time of fellowship together. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that don't know you, God, that somewhere or another, Lord, you could just speak and call. Reach those arms out, our Lord. Lord, I pray that when this thing is over, that all these precious people that I hold dear to my heart will be with us around the throne of God, rejoicing in your forgiveness and in your mercy and in your grace. Father, I pray today, Lord, that there may be somebody here that, like old Peter, walking afar off, they know Jesus. They know they've been forgiven. Lord, they also know they're nowhere near where they need to be. I pray you'd speak to that heart today. Help us, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name.